Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, my name's Jim, and I'm a worshiper. You're supposed to say hi, Jim, back and let me have the punchline. Let's try it again. Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm a worshiper, and I'm with some worshiping folks in the house tonight, Lord. We magnify your name and lift up your name on high, for you are holy, and you alone are holy, and you are majestic, and you alone are majestic, and you're the healer, and you alone are the healer, and you're the Savior, and you alone are the Savior, and you're the buckler and the shield, and you alone are the buckler and the shield. You alone are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we glorify you and praise you and all of these things. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What a delight to know that we worship him on the eighth day. We are not seventh-day worshipers. We're eighth-day worshipers. And the reason for that is we live in the zone of the empty tomb. And because he resurrected, we too will resurrect. So this evening, we're not worshiping out of last week. We are worshiping into. As we were worshiping tonight, we say, Lord, we know you're up to something good this week, and we glorify you. Yeah, you've been good in our yesterdays, but I can't wait to see what you're up to next. If you do that to our father Abraham, I wonder what you do with us when we cross the Red Sea. If you did that to our father Isaac, I wonder what you do when you take us across the Jordan River. When you did that to our father Jacob, I wonder what you're going to do when we come up against a wall at Jericho. We're excited about what you did, but we're worshiping you for what you're going to do. Lord, we magnify and praise that name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sherry and I are just jazzed and tickled to be with y'all twice in this October. What a treat. Amen. I give honor to Brother and Sister Portman, as well as Brother and Sister Schumacher, dear friends. And what a delight to be here. I've been here lots of times when pastors don't have to say, well, some folks are out. I've been here enough times. I know kind of who some folks are that aren't here. And I miss them when they're not here, and y'all miss them when they're not here, and it's all good to see us together in the house this evening as we anticipate God is up to something. The doctor can only read the x-ray scan, the MRI report. He can only read those things which are in front of him, but you and I have been called by new birth to see into the kingdom and to walk into the kingdom. We see something different than the world sees. The world can only see darkness. We see light. The world sees bondage. We see freedom. The world sees despair and pain, and we see hope and liberty in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 19. Again, thank you for the honor of being with you folks twice in this month, and to worship with you. Let me tell you, as you worship Jesus because he was worthy, not because you wanted something. I'm sure many of you know some folks who, when they come talk to you in a nice, sweet way, you kind of hold your wallet. You kind of watch out over things. You wonder what they're after. Those of us that had little girls, although mine aren't as little as they used to be, but those of us men who had little daughters, we know what that's like when they would climb up on your lap and, oh, Daddy, I love you, and they'd give you that hug. I can tell. She's had practice, yeah. Climbing up on Daddy's lap, giving that hug and that wet kiss on the cheek, and we say, yeah, baby, up to half my kingdom, you can have it right now. This evening, you didn't come to worship him because you wanted something from him. You came to worship him because you love him and because he has been amazingly good. Amen, amen. As we look at Exodus chapter 19, I'm so thankful that when God starts something, God finishes it. And little things of yesterday are nothing to be compared to the things of tomorrow. I said the little things of yesterday, amazing as they are. Anybody been healed in the house before? God's going to do some amazing things. Anybody had financial resolutions to things you didn't know what you were going to do, but God was faithful. God's going to do some amazing things. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you out on eagle's wings. Flying on eagle's wings, reading from Exodus 19, verse 4. I brought you out on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What a destination. I can't remember what game it is, but there's some game, and when they get done, the winners of that championship always say, whoa, I'm going to Disney. I don't know what game that is. I've heard them say it. But we've been brought out on eagle's wings and brought unto the Lord himself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, and all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, all of you, and a holy nation. These are the words which you will speak to the children of Israel. And dropping down to verse number 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not unto your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. Can you imagine getting up in the morning, stretching, rubbing your eyes, grabbing a few kernels of manna out from under the tent flap and popping them in your mouth to get ready for the day. On the third day in the morning, there were thunders. And there was lightnings. And there was a thick cloud on the mountain. And there was a voice of a trumpet exceedingly loud. All the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to do something very special, to meet with God. They stood on the other side of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was altogether smoky mountain, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Lord, we thank you this evening that your word is forever settled. We thank you that you have had always one purpose for your people, and that is to be a blessing to all the world around us. So this evening, we ask you, O Lord, that we might hear your voice like they heard your voice. We ask you, O Lord, that we see evidences of your nearness as they saw evidence of your nearness. And we commit like they did to be prepared to meet with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. I want to preach a little bit this evening about a question. My title is a question. Are you just a little bit curious? Are you just a little bit curious? I don't know what piques your interest. I don't know what gives you curiosity. Some people are curious about the stars. Sherry and I had a dear, dear friend passed away a couple of years ago, but all the way through his adult life, he was always curious about the stars. So he bought a telescope, not a telescope, a telescope. The telescope was too big to haul around, so he had to build a shed around it in his backyard. And a telescope was hooked up to a gear that as the earth would go through his rotation, his telescope would shift and change with it. So amazing. He took me out one day, and I looked at Saturn and saw the rings that I'd seen in pictures. And he says, that's nothing. Let me show you this nebula out there. And he began to describe how those two stars came together and created an image. But those two stars were actually light years away from one another. Stars can pique our curiosity. I'm piqued with other cultures. I enjoy seeing what people do, where they do, and what that means. And the food that they eat and the food that they don't eat, or what they drink or what they don't drink. To me, that piques my curiosity. I have a friend, Dr. Sidney Poe. He's a bug doctor. A bug doctor. I would not go to university to study bugs. Bugs are to be squished, not studied. Can I get a witness in the house? Okay. My friend Dr. Poe, one day I was in a meeting with him. We were planning some stuff, and this bug came in on the table, and I was ready to dispatch it into eternity, to bug purgatory, wherever that is. I was sending it on its way. And Dr. Poe reached out his little fingers like he had some delicate instrument in his hand, and he picked up the bug and he held it up to the light. He said, "Wow, that is absolutely amazing." And I'm saying, "Yeah, I'm amazed that you haven't squished the thing yet." And he says, no, you don't understand. You don't understand what this bug does and what this bug is and what makes it up." Dr. Poe is a bug doctor. And he's curious about bugs still. Some people are curious about drugs. I'll just take one hit of heroin. That surely won't, and it will. Heard of the challenges of meth in parts of the world, parts of our country that have, particularly if mixed with fentanyl and some other things, they say it will give such a rush. So some people have to get just curious about those things. And some people, one curiosity brings death. Sometimes that death is instantaneous almost, and sometimes that death is 4 or 5 years. One hit after another hit after another hit after another hit after another hit. But that curiosity led to a pathway of destruction. Some people are curious about the misuse of power, and they wonder how much power they can get, whether it's in a corporation or with dollars or even spiritually abusing people and wanting to use that power. I have known some young people that are curious about speed. I had a former student once. I rode with him one time. Then I found out why he had to replace ball joints in his Mustang every 50 or 60,000 miles. I would do the speed limit on the interstate, he would do that plus, but then he would do the speed limit from the interstate on the exit and on ramps, and car would do the tilting thing because he was just curious, how much power can I handle? I'm wondering this evening if you are willing to risk God's effort to attract your attention and your curiosity. I'm in the house this evening to say it's time for us to get just a little bit curious about what God is up to. When my children were little, if they got too quiet, Sherry and I would get curious. What are they doing now? They have been way too quiet for too long. It's not the what we're thinking of this evening. God is up to something. And you've been responding in worship. You've been responding in faithfulness. There are members of this congregation that have been here for decades serving God's purposes and God's design. I just wonder what's God getting ready to do in the house, not just this evening, but the remainder of this year and going into 2024. Some people are afraid of the future. I'm curious about the future. And worship keeps me curious. When I don't worship, I can fall into examination of the things that I do see. But through worship, like you all helped me to do tonight, it got my eyes off of the ground and up into the hill whence comes my salvation. It got my eyes off of the dirt, and it got my eyes up into the source of light. And all of a sudden, the world around us is not in control. He is in control. And I just wonder, how is God going to take attacks on various nations, and how is God going to take shame and sorrow and pain and suffering? How is God going to use His church in this hour to bring about His purposes and His design? And I think some folks right here, right now at Apostolic Faith Church are saying, I'm a little bit curious about what God wants to do through us. As we look at this passage, we see Israel coming up to the Smoky Mountain and the Trumpet Thundering Mountain. They had had an identity call that required them to encounter covenant God. He had called them to be a kingdom of priests, had called them to set apart for a purpose. as a nation, if you've received the Spirit and been baptized in His name, I want you to know you've already been set apart. If you've not yet experienced new birth, you're not set apart yet, but He is already calling you. Why don't you step over into my purposes and my design? Because I have a plan for you that would blow your mind if you understood. Would you just get a little bit curious of what would happen if you let my covenant name be put on side, on top of you? That's what baptism is, God's covenant name being placed on us. When you were baptized by a pastor, whenever that was, for me, it was in 1967, baptized in the name of Jesus, the covenant name of Jesus was placed on me. And although that has been a long time ago now, that name is still on me and it still has power and authority to make me a little bit curious. God, you still got me here. I wonder what you're planning on doing. He has separated us apart for that priestly function on behalf of the world. First Peter lets us know that we're to be that royal priesthood. Not that we are royalty, but we are priests of the royalty. As royal priesthood, we are set apart to let the world know who He is. Now in a world today, I see some Christians that aren't functioning in their priesthood. When I see troubles come their way, they get worried and afraid and upset and mad and go bonkers on Facebook. God, what's our world coming to? And you wouldn't believe what I saw today. And blah. Facebook vomit. Blah. They even have an emoji for that. Don't they? Puke. Blah. Because they can't see. They can't see through priestly eyes that say when we see a world in challenge and difficulty, we do not get angry, we go to our knees. We do not get upset or get even, we lift up holy hands. We have already submitted ourselves as the burnt offering, giving ourselves completely to Him. And now as living sacrifices, we have an opportunity to lift up those that are in need. And we need to do that for our neighbors every single day. For Israel, they had been set apart as a nation. They had remembered and seen that God had carried them out on eagle's wings, pulled them out of captivity. The bonds of Pharaoh had been loosed, as we had sung tonight. The whips were no longer to be felt on their back. Instead, they had an opportunity to walk into the place where it had been promised to their forefather Abraham, wherever you put your shoe. Going to give that place to you. What would happen if we would get excited and anticipating with our tomorrows, that when God gives us a tomorrow, it's with purpose and design. It's with a plan. You've offered up your offerings and pledges in this financial drive that you're in right now, looking forward. I'm just a little bit curious to see what God's going to do next. I'm excited because I know God has been amazingly good right here for the past several decades. God has done powerful things already right here. And if God did that, I wonder what He's getting ready to do next. There are some people in this room that taught Sunday school classes. Can I see hands of Sunday school teachers? Either you're doing it now or you've done it in the past. Decade after decade and week after week preparing. I need you to know your labors have never been in vain. And what God did to reward you in the past is nothing compared to what God's getting ready to do in the tomorrow. I know that this church is a church that's witnessed in the prisons and baptized. There's thousands, I believe, that have been baptized through the ministry of this congregation in the prisons. If that's what God's done in the yesterday, I wonder what God's going to do next. We have come to Him with dedication and thanksgiving and joy and given of Him of the resources He's given us. And now there's a hunger inside of us that says, I wonder. I wonder. Does anybody remember seeing the Christmas tree when you were a little kid? You couldn't go to sleep the night before. Your parents had to drug you with too many cookies to get you to go to sleep. You got to go to bed because in the morning, presents are going to be there. And that anticipation would begin to grow. I need you to know that there is something far greater than a Christmas gift in your tomorrow. God's purpose to use Apostolic Faith Church for His plan in this hour is beyond your capacity and my capacity to grasp. So I'm just a little bit curious about what He's going to do next. For the Monday, I'm just a little bit curious about who He's going to add to the choir in the next year. Some new folk that are going to come in, be baptized in His name, and going to be staying, some folks that aren't standing here tonight in the next year are going to be added singing in the choir. Why? I'm just a little bit curious who's going to be coming through those doors. I'm just a little bit curious who you witnessed to in the past and you've given up, but God hasn't given up. He's got a plan for them, and I'm a little bit curious about how He's going to bring it all to pass. They had to get ready for this encounter with God. I can remember in school on picture day, getting ready for picture day. It was fine up through about fifth grade. Somewhere, fifth or sixth grade, picture day became a horror house. I could be fine the day before, but picture day and Mount Vesuvius would erupt on my forehead. It would be recovered, and Mom would buy the photo package and send it to all five of my grannies and all three of my grandfathers. And aunts and uncles would see how ungainly their grandson, great-grandson, and nephew had become. I wasn't really too interested in picture days, but you'd get ready the best you could. I've interviewed for a job or two along the line, and you get ready for those things. That is, you get ready for those things because you got to. But let me tell you this evening, you and I are privileged to get ready for continual meeting with Jesus Christ. First thing Moses had to do is Moses had to sanctify the people. Moses pronounced holiness on the people. Said to the people, God has called you out. He makes you holy. So I'm going to name that right now. Be holy unto the Lord. This is before there was a tabernacle. Tabernacle plans, God gives those. God would give the dimensions of everything except for the laver of water. But there's no tabernacle yet to declare them as holy. So before they could make a building holy, there had to be a holy people. Your offerings that you bring in over the next few weeks, you dedicate that as holy unto the Lord, separated unto the Lord. But there is no holy offering until there's a holy people. I'm here this night to tell you it is still worth it to be a holy people for an almighty God. It is still worth it to be separated for His purpose and His design. And people ask me sometimes, well, Brother Littles, is holiness a heaven or hell issue? Let me tell you, God had already brought them out of Egypt, but He still wanted them to be holy. The call to be holy wasn't to get out of slavery. They were already out of slavery. The call to be holy was to see what God wanted to do next. So if there's some folks in the house that says, I'm curious about what God wants to do next, our first task is say, Lord, bathe me with Your holiness. Bathe me with Your purity. Wash me and cleanse me with Your purity. Purify my mind. Purify my heart needs to be pure in this hour. I've got to have a longing for the things of God more than a longing for absolutely anything else. Oh, Lord, make me holy. 1 Peter lets us know we are made holy by the blood of the Lamb, not by silver and gold or precious things. It's not our work. He makes us holy. John chapter 17 says that we are sanctified through His truth. Sanctified means set apart for a purpose, which is holiness. Sanctified by truth. Thy word is truth. I'm so thankful that this is a truth-preaching church. And you are a truth-listening people. A truth-living people. I wonder for just a moment, is it all right for if we could just take a little bit of prayer break right now and say, Lord, would You just wash us with Your holiness? Cleanse us and purify us one more time. Right now, Lord Jesus, we surrender ourselves to You to be a holy people. Forgive me of times, O Lord, when I want to attract attention to me instead of attracting attention to You. Purify me and make me holy, O Lord. Oh, Lord, I repent of times I've harbored anger in my spirit or lustfulness after other people's things. Would you just purify me right now and make me holy for your purpose and your design? Oh, Lord, right now I pray holiness into every family. I pray holiness into every individual. I pray a purity on our lives, oh, Lord, so that we can be ready for whatever you want to do next. Because there's a blessing in store for a holy people. We surrender ourselves to your holiness even now. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, I pray. Brothers and sisters, doesn't that feel good to be a holy people unto the Lord? Aren't you glad that your Monday can be bathed in holiness? Aren't you glad your decisions next week, your mouth can be ordered by holiness? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your relationships this week are all going to be bathed in holiness because we surrendered, Lord. Let your holiness be on us. After that holiness was pronounced, they went home and washed their clothes. Now, that's a good thing to do. Now, these ex-slaves may have only had one set of clothes. You imagine a little bit. Everybody can't wash their clothes at the same time if you only got one set of clothes. So I could see Sister Levi handing her robe to Brother Levi, and he would take her garments out and wash them and bring them back and give them to her, and he would step inside the tent and hand it out, hold the tent door real close together, and she would go wash his clothes. I don't know how long it took for a couple of million people to wash clothes at one time, take those clothes back, and then the other half of the people come out and wash those folks' clothes. It took a while, but it was worth it. Because it was anticipation happening. Imagine, if you would, that 18, 19, 20-year-old girl, 35-year-old lady, whatever the age is, going out on that date for the first time for the gentleman that they have been looking at for a while. I guarantee there's some standing in front of the mirror. Fix it this way, fix it that way, flip it another way. Put so much stuff on it, got to go wash it again because now I can't do anything with it. I haven't had that problem for a while yet. But the getting ready, because the Lord's going to come in 3 days. 3 more days. 2 more days. Could you imagine? T-minus 1 day. 1 more day. God's going to meet with us in 1 more day. The other command that he gave is to refrain from intimate relationships with their spouse. That's not because intimate relationships were wrong. The reason Moses commanded that is because all of their neighbors connected sexuality to worship. Their temples had immoral actions at them as acts of worship to their idols. And Moses says, we're going to disconnect that from our worship. So let's refrain from that from 3 days. Our world is very confused about sexual identity right now. And part of that reason is because they begin to worship self. And when you worship self, it always contaminates all aspects of your life and can call into immoral practices and immoral behaviors. But we have decided this evening we are a holy, sanctified people. We prepare ourselves, we wash ourselves, and we prepare for that coming of the Lord. I wonder this evening, what would you do tonight if you knew in the morning we were having a meeting with Jesus and he was going to disclose his plan for the remainder of this year and the future of this congregation? I'd have trouble going to sleep. Because we have learned through worship that there's no need to fear the presence of God. Isn't that happened tonight? As we worshiped him, there was no worship out of fear. There was no worship because I got to. There weren't angels in the back with spears prodding us on. Worship a little higher, a little longer. You can do better. None of that's happening. We come because, oh, what joy it is to be in the presence of an almighty God, to recognize we belong in his presence. I belong in his presence. I belong in his presence. Amen. Brother Portman was holding that little grandbaby a while ago. I don't know which was grinning bigger, the grandbaby or the grandpa. Because there's a sense grandbaby says, I belong here. And he grabbed the glasses and messed with them a little bit and grabbed other stuff. But it's okay because I belong in Papa's arm. That's what we belong in the presence of a holy God. We belong in the presence of the King. What delight it is to know we belong here. And if you're a guest this evening, I want you to know you belong here too. This is the place where you can experience a new birth in Him, see kingdom potential, and to walk in kingdom potential. Now, Moses, I think Moses had a flashback because Moses had seen something burn before and not get burnt up. You remember the story? You can find it in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in the flame out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. As Moses is calling the people to prepare for God, there's got to be in the back of this elder's mind, I've been by something burning before that wasn't consumed, but God only let me see a little twig, but tomorrow we get to see a whole mountain. I thought it was absolutely astounding when I saw the bush burn. I have never seen a mountain burn before and shake before, and the trumpet of God scream out of the mountain. I've heard God's voice from a bush, but I've never heard God's voice rattle a mountain before. Somebody in the house needs to say, I have felt God before, but it's nothing compared to what God wants to do next. Apostolic Faith Church has had revival before. That's just getting us ready for what God wants to do next. Now, Moses, back in the day, he was just there by chance. Now realize this is just a couple years before. Okay. The plagues probably took about a year. Now they've traveled several months, and we're less than 2 years away between his burning twig and a burning mountain. I don't know why, but I hear more preaching about a burning bush and not much preaching about a burning mountain. Put those pictures side by side, and you'll forget the bush in a moment. All the stuff we testify about what God did in our yesterdays, those were bushes getting us ready for what God's getting ready. Is anybody just a little bit curious in the house tonight? I wonder what God's getting ready to do. I wonder what He's going to do in my family that's walked away from Him. I wonder how He's going to bring them home. Ah, my brothers and my sisters and my neighbors. I can't wait to see how He's going to bring it. Oh, I've been witnessing on the job for years now, living faithfully and living righteously and sharing the goodness of God. And so far, none of them. I wonder what God's going to do to get there. I'm just a little bit curious. Now Moses was able to trust God in leading the people to the burning mountain because he had been by the burning bush. We need to learn to listen to the experience of others who have encountered God. I want to know, is there anybody in the house got so hungry for God in the past that you fasted, say, 4 to 7 days? Can I see the hands? You're not bragging on you. You're saying God called you to a place. Put them up one more time if you don't mind. Look at that. There's some folks in this room that said, in seasons in my yesterdays, I was so hungry for God, I put food down for a while. We need to hear the stories of people longing for God in that direction and then talk about how God spoke in those seasons. That's what Moses had to tell the people. Just get holy before God because the mountain's about to shake. Just get ready for God. God's about to do something amazing. Verse number 3, Moses said, now this is the flashback, in his 2 year younger life when he was only 80, when he was only 80. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush isn't burnt. The only thing Moses had left was a little bit of curiosity. Any dream of let my people go was beat out of him the last 40 years. There was once a fire in his belly to see his people freed from slavery. And he did what he thought was right to do, and because of that he was exiled from everybody he had ever known. And the only thing he could find to do was this gracious priest that let him watch his sheep. He who was trained in the palaces of Egypt and trained to hold a scepter in his hand found himself walking with a staff. And after 40 years, those dreams were dead. Has anybody had what we call dark nights of the soul? Will it go on for months sometimes? I've had them once or twice that have lasted a whole year where you don't really feel much. You just say, Lord, I know you're good, so I'm going to keep doing your work. I'm going to keep loving you, going to keep serving you, but life's kind of squeezed the juice out of me. You know that orange you split in half and you put down on that little pointy thing. What's it called? Well, that's a good idea to call it. That was too simple. That's why I couldn't think of it. You take that orange and slam it down on, what's it called? You slam it down on a juicer. You rotate it a little bit. You pick it up, squeeze it one way, squeeze it the other way, and put it, what's it called? You put it back down on the juicer and rotate a few more. The pulp and the juice is gone, and all you got left is a bit of rind and a little bit of stuff that's not worth much, and you just walk over trash can, step on the lid, pops up, and in it goes. I have to confess there have been seasons I have felt like juiced gem. Meaning my juice run out of me, not me drinking juice. Moses was there. Moses had nothing left in him except one little bit of curiosity. But if somebody's a little bit can be triggered to curiosity, God says, I can work with that. I can work with that. Moses isn't the dreamer Moses used to be. Moses doesn't hardly remember his mama's voice anymore. Moses has given up hope on letting my people go. He's just hoping to get all the sheep home and not getting eaten by a grizzly bear in the process. That's all he's hoping for. Everything else is gone. But if Moses will just draw near to when I put a sign out there, if Moses will just pause for a moment and pay attention when I put a sign in his path, I can work with that. Imagine what would have happened if Moses had forgotten how to be curious. 80-year-old man, 40 years getting the life squeezed out of him. Only thing that was left was curiosity. I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight and why this bush isn't burning. He was willing to turn from his daily task to draw near to the bush where the angel of the Lord appeared. Notice, the angel made the bush burn. Now look at the next verse. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. What started out as merely a messenger sent by God, God says, all right, messenger, your job worked. You piqued their curiosity. Now I'm fixing to talk. Somebody in the house right now, God's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting an intimate relationship with you where you can know his will and can know his plan. If you'll just draw near here in a few moments when I open up this altar to the smoky mountain, not the burning twig. I'm inviting Apostolic Faith Church to the burning mountain tonight. I'm not calling you to a burning twig. I'm asking you, will you trust the God that has done it yesterday to do something mightier today? Oh, my God, I feel some spirit began to get curious in the house. I wonder if God could do it in me. I know he can do it in Pastor. I know he can do it in Brother and Sister Schumacher for their years of faithfulness, but I'm just a little curious. Could God do that in me? When the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, same thing Samuel would say later, here am I. Here am I. I'm having trouble believing you because 40 years, miles have squeezed the life of me. I'm having trouble trusting that there's anything valuable even left in life. Don't know how many few days I got left. I got two boys, and maybe they'll pray over me when they're done, but I haven't done such a good job raising them in the faith. But at least my two boys, and Zipporah, I think she might find some good in me, and she might remember me. But God, if you call me, I'm going to respond. Here am I, was the voice of God. I'm begging you, to use the language of Paul, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, would you present yourselves as living sacrifices unto him, because the voice of Jesus is calling you this evening. Would you just get curious for what I want to do next? Now, in the next verse, the Lord said, don't come too close. Instead, you need to take off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand, it is holy ground. Preparation for getting on holy ground. This is why he gave those commands to Israel a couple of years later. I'm going to pronounce holiness in the name of Yahweh. But then you got to take some action. You got to go wash your clothes as evidence. I'm living into that holiness. I don't know what God may call some of you to do tomorrow. But don't you be shocked when you wake up in the morning and a holy God speaks into your spirit and says, I want you to lay some things aside because I'm getting ready to do something, and I got to find some folk that are willing to not just receive words of holiness, but I got to find some folks that are willing to take some actions of holiness. Can I see some hands of folks God's already done that for you in the past? And I'm not talking about just putting away the weed. I'm talking about some stuff that wasn't bad, but the Lord says, I got a season for you. Brother Munn, is that Monday, has that happened to you? The Lord said, I got a call for you. Would you just lay it down for a season? Anybody else? The Lord said, Schumacher, was it worth it? Was there anybody over here? God's called you to lay something down before? Was it worth it? It's worth it. Moses, take off your shoes. You are no longer in common ground. On common ground, you can worry about sheep. On common ground, you can worry about the fox coming in to get your sheep. On common ground, you can worry about what you're going to eat tonight and where you're going to sleep and when you should turn around and head. That's common ground. But from this day forward, your steps are going to be ordered of me. So to do that, I need you. I need you to take a holy step. I need you to take off your shoes and walk on some sacred ground. Now, in the back of my analytical mind, I guess because I haven't chased sheep for 40 years, back of my mind, I'm asking why. Does a fourth of an inch of Allen Edmonds leather really mean that much? I mean, is that fourth of an inch of sole leather really going to keep me from seeing your purposes done? I don't know why the Lord has me here this evening, but I think he's calling somebody to say it's time. Time to step onto some holy ground. Get ready for what God wants to do next. Our prayers and our assurances that Moses did for the people and that we did this evening, a repentance prayer, an assurance that God hears it. That's what Moses experienced. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am. That covenant name, I am. In a few more verses, he'll explain the I am. But Right here he says, before I can give you the theology, I need you to let you know that I'm a God of relationship. I am the God of Abraham, your father. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. And with that, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses had lived his last 40 years as a cultural Jew. He hadn't even circumcised his two sons. The most basic of steps of following the God that called his grandpa Abraham, that most basic step had been ignored. But God says, if you'll get a little bit curious, I can redeem the last 40 years with what's coming next. There may be someone in the house the last year or two or the last 5 years. You've just been good and faithful, and thank God for doing that. Lord bless you for doing that. But it could be someone in the house is about to be awakened to say, my yesteryears are not really preparing me for what God wants for me to do next, and I'm a little bit curious about God's plan for tomorrow. Oh, we like to hear the theology of the oneness of God, and we pound the table on how it's important and it's real and it's true. Yes, our God is one God, and Him only shalt thou serve. But if you don't know or have a relationship with that Savior God, you can spout all the truth statements. You can buy bumper stickers enough to cover your car. I'm sure he still has them, but I once saw an evangelist brother out of southern Missouri where my family is from. I saw him one day driving his car, and his car was covered with bumper stickers. He didn't know bumper sticker meant bumper. I think he thought they were car stickers, not bumper stickers, all over his car announcing the name of Jesus. The beauty is that the man lived relationship even more than he plastered his car with bumper stickers. On your website, it declares your theology. On your website, it declares your doctrine. In your church documents that set you apart of as Apostolic Faith Church, there's statements of this is what we believe. But I'm wondering if there's anybody in the house tonight that says, I don't want to say, yes, I believe. I want to say, yes, I know. I don't want to say, yes, I understand. I want to say, yes, I'm in relationship with Him, because He has lit me up tonight, and He is telling me, son, the fire that you saw yesterday is but a burning twig. I'm getting you ready for a smoky mountain. That was Moses' flashback as he thought, had to be thinking about what it was to be a burning bush, and now he's about to see a burning mountain. If we look forward to Exodus chapter 20, get back to the time. This is the day of that morning. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 and following. All the people, they saw the thunderings and the lightnings, noise of the trumpet. And they saw a smoking mountain. They saw what Moses, you know those little snow globes we used to have as kids? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Little glass dome, little platform, and inside is a house or some kind of scenic place, or maybe Statue of Liberty. You can buy snow globes all over the world, and some people collect them. Something for their kids to throw away after they pass on. You know that some people collect those and put them in special places in the home. You would shake it and the little snow falls. That's what Moses' burning bush was like compared to what he saw that morning. I thought I experienced God 2 years ago. I thought I heard God's voice 2 years ago, but evidently, the only thing I saw that was so I could be ready for the Smoky Mountain, because, man, this is flat amazing. When the people saw it, they removed, stood afar off. They said to Moses, you speak with us, we'll listen to you. But we don't want to hear God speak to us. We can handle sermons. We can handle teaching. We'll even respond to it. Hey, my clothes are clean. I washed them. I didn't actually wash mine. I washed hers and she washed mine. We washed our clothes. We obeyed the call to holiness. We'll walk holy like you tell us to walk holy. But that's where we draw the line. We're not curious enough to step up towards the mountain and hear God for ourselves. I'm wondering in the house tonight, can I get 10% of you to say, I want to hear His voice? Could we get a quarter of us to say, for the littles, I don't know what He's going to do, but I'm volunteering. I want to hear His voice. Well, what would happen if half of us would say, I'm not leaving the house tonight until I tell God, God, however and whenever you want to speak, I'm your man, I'm your woman, because I want to, above all else, I want to hear your voice. I'll listen to pastor and assistant pastors. I'll listen to teaching elders, and I'll walk in the plan for holiness, and I'll purify my life. But at the end of the day, I'm getting holy, and I'm getting pure for a reason. I want to hear your voice, and I want to stand up to a smoky mountain. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so saddened for folks that are willing to get holy, but they won't step into the realm of God's voice for fear of what God wants to do next. But that's where Apostolic Faith Church is right now. God is saying you've lived holy and you've listened to the messages, but it's now time to get a little bit curious about what I want to do next. The people were afraid they would die, but Moses said unto the people, don't be afraid. You see, one day I stepped up to a burning tree and I'm still here. We can step up to this burning mountain together. The reason God gave a mountain is because He's wanting all of us. On that day, He just gave me a burning twig because it was just me, all by my lonesome, and all it took was a twig. I want you to know it was worth being curious that day. Oh, some changes had to happen in my family. When I got home, I told Zipporah, we're taking a trip. Oh, we're going to Disney? No, we're going to Egypt. Going to see the pyramids? No, we're going to see Pharaoh. Ah, your cousin's on the throne. We're going to talk to him? No, I'm going to tell him to let the people go. You see, when you hear God's voice, it'll change your family. And even Moses had recognized that his sons needed that circumcision and Zipporah would have to do it. Moses said unto the people, don't be afraid. Fear not. God has come to prove you that His fear may be upon your faces, that you sin not. You see, God has called you as a kingdom of priests, mounted up on eagle's wings and bore you out of Egypt land for this season and for this hour. But He's got to purify you and He's got to see you face to face so that you don't walk in sin. Why? Because the world needs to know Jehovah. The world needs to know the one that saved you. Don't you want everybody saved? Don't you want everybody to know the freedom and the power of knowing the name of Yahweh? Don't you want everybody to walk in this truth? Then step up to the mountain. Verse 21 is one of the saddest verses in Scripture. The people stood afar off, but Moses drew near into the thick darkness, that is the smoky mountain. He drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Moses said, I wish somebody would hold my hand and walk with me. But if nobody will, I'm not turning back. I saw what the burning twig would do. I'm just a little curious about what God wants to do next. In his 2 years, he still hadn't fully grasped what God's plans were. He still hadn't fully grasped how to walk completely by faith. He uses his staff the wrong way, and it keeps him from going into the promised land. You know the story. He has to just see into the promised land. He wasn't able to see it all fulfilled. Those 2 years wasn't enough to transform him all the way yet, but there was a something inside of him that said, if God called me to the tree, I wonder what God will do if He calls me to the mountain. Would you stand together with me? There's a danger of confessing to someone you love them because you don't know if they will love you in return. There's a danger of taking a new job that you don't know the folk there and they don't know you. Is this going to work or not? A friend of mine used to be a rocket engineer. He's nearing the end of his life now, but he was my pastor for a season and a dear friend. He's now in a place of dementia and having some struggles and some difficulties. But back when he was a rocket scientist building Sidewinder missiles for Hercules, I think was the name of the company, back in the 70s and 80s, the Lord brought him to the Lord. He told me the story of hiring someone with a PhD in acoustics from MIT. Someone was brilliant in acoustics. Sound waves, because those rockets are going so fast, you got to calculate the sound waves that's around it. Brought that guy on the job and fired him 3 months later. Because I got to have somebody that's up to the task. So there was a risk for that PhD graduate, acoustics from MIT, one of the best science schools in the country, if not the world. There was a risk taking the job because you're going to find out if you're ready for it or not. But I need you to know this evening, there is no danger in drawing closer. There is no risk. The only risk is saying, I won't step up to the mountain. That's the risky place. The risky place is saying, I'm satisfied with hearing somebody else tell me about the burning twig. I will not take the risk of getting curious enough to step closer into God's presence. I want you to know this evening that God is issuing the call right here, right now. Will Apostolic Faith Church collectively and will individuals in Apostolic Faith Church say, I'm just a little bit curious about what God wants to do next. I don't know what your crisis may be. I don't know what joys you've experienced, but I'm wondering if you'll put a parenthesis next to it. This is my crisis. I wonder what God's going to do next. This is my joy. I wonder what God's going to do next. I've been in despair. I wonder what God's going to do next. I've got hope, but I wonder what God's going to do next. Lord Jesus, I pray vision, O Lord. I am your messenger tonight, and taking the place of that angel, though I'm not one. As an angel messenger, I've given the word, O Lord. And now I ask you, will you begin to quicken hearts and quicken the minds, O Lord, a recognition that you're preparing to do a new thing. O Lord, I want to see. I want to see, are there some curious folks in the house that say, here am I, O Lord. I step up to the mountain. If that is you this evening, would you come and stand at this altar as a confession? As a confession. Oh, Lord. I love you, Lord. You've been so good to me. Right now, what's propelling me to the mountain is curiosity. I don't know. Don't know the amazing dimensions of what you want to do next. So I step forward right now with some brothers and sisters. Oh, my God. Pastor, we're up to about 75% up here right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray a fueling of holy curiosity right now on every young person, midlife person and elder that's come towards this altar. Open my eyes, O Lord, to see. You are so good in my yesterdays. I'm a little bit curious. A little bit curious about what you want to do next. Lord, I suspend my longing and desires. I suspend my hunger and my thirst. I'm just curious to what you want to do through us, your people, in this hour. I surrender, oh Lord, to your invitation. I am curious what you want to do, oh Lord.